The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Harrington dancing now, moving about on her feet. 30 seconds to Olympic glory. Good shot from Yang. Harrington breathing hard in there. It's been a long, long week for her. She's been in some right battles, least of which, of course, that incredible fight. Not least of which was Ferreira from Brazil. But 15 seconds here. She stays on her feet and she is champion again. Yang on the back foot. Harrington, high guard. Throws her right, throws her left. Then the jab. Last few seconds. Kelly Harrington from Dublin. Double Olympic champion.
So a double Olympic champion. Back-to-back gold medals for Kelly Harrington. She beat her Chinese opponent. It was a split decision, but it looked fairly clear-cut to my untutored eye. Joining us now to talk about this is the chief boxing sub-editor at The Sun, host of the Rocky Road Boxing Podcast, Kevin Byrne. And we're also joined by Michael Conlon, former Olympian, now professional boxer. Good morning and welcome to you both. Kevin, first of all, your tutored eye is distinct from mine. Was it as clear-cut from the bell, really, that Kelly was going to win this?
From the final bell, I think so. Yeah, Hugh Cahill's got a great knack actually on RT of, you know, he usually has the right tone, and he knows who's won, and him and Eric Donovan broke down the scoring and basically going into the final round that Kelly Harrington was up on three cards and level on two. So she just needed to avoid a disaster, avoid a public warning and maybe losing the round or whatever. But if she just boxed as she could and just kept, she was able to basically lose the round and still win the fight and become back-to-back champions. So I think after two rounds, it was clear that she was going to win the fight. And that's because she started so strongly. She managed to confuse Wenliu Yang. And as she said in her post-fight interview, she expected a different fight. But when she goes in there, she's somehow able to, and in using her words, hypnotize her opponents.
Now, she has fought Wenliu Yang before and has been beaten. So clearly she knew what she was up against. This is a fairly smart opponent.
Absolutely. You could see Yang has a bit more height than her, and you could see, you know, she's got a lot of energy, and she throws, you know, she uses her frame quite well. But like, Harrington is a much different fighter from 8 years ago. That was her first major tournament final at the age of 26 as well. She's done a lot of development since then. She's gone on to win that, you know, she went back to that tournament and won the world title. She's won the Olympic Games. She's the best lightweight in the world right now, and she's really upped her game. She's got multiple strategies now to use. And even looking back at that fight, even though she was a bit green in 2016, she was still quite developed. I watched it back, Pat. I thought it was very close. She could have won that one. And she referenced it last night in her interview and said she felt like she was boxing within herself. Well, she didn't box within herself at these Olympic Games. She gave absolutely everything for the cause.
Now, Michael, you're a great fan of Kelly's, I know. Just looking at her and her ability to change from orthodox to southpaw, as a fighter, how problematic is that to cope with?
For any fighter facing it is a very, very hard task to deal with. It's something I do myself and something I've done kind of my whole career. So, it's a great tool to have and a great asset when you're in the ring, because you can switch it up on a fighter very, very quickly. And once you change and they have to look and look for different things of what you're doing, it's very, very hard to deal with.
Yeah. What did you make of her performance last night? I mean, I mentioned you're a fan of hers. You followed her career assiduously. So could you see that she was not going to be in great trouble from the beginning?
No, not from the beginning. The girl started very fast, and she was doing an awful lot of fainting and, you know, trying to make Kelly work. But Kelly just controlled the pace and controlled the style of the fight and what she wanted to do. And it was fantastic. I was in awe of her. To go and defend your Olympic title is a huge task. I think there was a few people getting in defending their titles in that games, and I'm not sure if anybody has yet, but Kelly has, and you know, it's fantastic. I'm very, very proud of her. She's a good friend of mine, and you know, as I says, I was just in complete awe of her last night.
Now, Michael, you were at the wrong end of a decision which is looked back on as being a corrupt decision. How about the boxers going in? How much confidence did they have this year, particularly when you look at what happened to Dana Moorhouse, that decision, which looked to be certainly corrupt as well? When you're going into a fight and you know, even if I box my heart out, it may not go my way because of a lack of confidence that the judges will do the fair and right thing.
Yeah, it's sad to see. You know, I thought when I made the stand back in 2016 that these things could possibly change. And in Tokyo, it looked that way. It looked like things were getting better, but these games have brought it right back again. And right back to me in 2016, when I watched Dana Moorhouse and her performance, I went, wow, there's no way she's lost this. And then she ends up in the wrong in the decision. And, you know, it's terrible. But, you know, they're saying boxing may not be in the 2028 Olympics. And I think this is probably another nail on the head for that. And that's something, it kind of a little conspiracy theory I have in my own head that, you know, it's going to be gone anyway. So let's just put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, and you wonder how the authorities can stand over these things. But even when you've got a decision that in your case was obviously wrong, in Dana Moorhouse, obviously wrong, I mean, there are other decisions that you might say, well, it could have gone the other way. But when it's obviously wrong and there is no court of appeal.
Yeah, there's no court of appeal. I don't think the coaches and the teams are allowed to appeal it anymore. There used to be an appeal process for these competitions, but I think that has been taken out now. Kevin will correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
but
you're right. Yeah.
So like you can't even try to have it turned over because there is no option for it, and it's terrible. And I've seen in these games, I've watched a few French fighters fight, and I've thought they've lost. There's one or two that have clearly lost, and they've got the decision. You're going, you can't do this. This is what athletes train their whole lives for, especially amateur athletes, especially amateur boxers. You know, the Olympics is the pinnacle of amateur sport, and when you get there and you end up in the wrong end of the decision, if you don't make a stand and say something about it, you know, you just got to live with it. But, you know, I was happy when it happened to me for me to make the stand and stand up and do it. Yeah. And now looking back on it, it's probably the best things that ever happened for my career. So, you know, yeah. I think these are the type of things that need to be called out on. And if you have the heart and the courage to do it, you know, well done.
Now, they're going to have to, for the boxing to go into the Olympics in Los Angeles, there's going to have to be a whole new governing body that is accepted by everybody to rule the sport. And does that likely in the space of 4 years, do you think, Michael?
In my opinion, no. I don't think any changes. I think people, it stays how it's going. The IBA, and I think they're called, that used to be AIBA. They and I are pumping more money into the amateur sport and paying like bonuses for people winning world championships, European championships, Olympic games. They're paying bonuses for medals. So, you know, I can't see a lot of the governing bodies from each country, you know, siding the other way when there's more money coming in that way. When amateur sport, there isn't much money in amateur sport. So, you know, I don't know.
And Kevin, what do you think?
IBA have stuck their spoke into this Olympic Games on numerous occasions, despite having nothing to do with the running of the tournament. They are offering prize money to medal winners from Paris 2024. 100 grand to the Kelly Harrington team. That's 50 grand to Kelly. IBA gets 25 and coach gets 25. I'm not sure if that's club coach or federation coach, possibly club coach. But IBA have been sticking their oar in and really trying to, you know, ramp up the power struggle. I think there's still maybe 198 national federations signed with IBA, 37 now with the Olympic aligned rival boxing federation called World Boxing. However, I think there are possibly going to be some changes coming down the track. A lot of changes would have been left until after these games. From what I'm hearing, the European kind of boxing confederation have released a statement saying that they're going to make structural changes to promote the ideals of the Olympic movement. Asian boxing could go the same in August. So World Boxing, while right now it has 37 members, including like Great Britain, India, Australia, Canada, United States, Ireland's clubs voted against joining that movement concerns about underage competitions and, you know, what it's going to look like. They want to, Ireland voted to just stay put for now and maintain the status quo. But I think in the next couple of years, the threat of losing Olympic boxing, Olympic boxing is so intrinsically linked with government funding of boxing in countries around the world, particularly in Ireland. You know, Sport Ireland funds boxing in order to go to the Olympic Games. Will it continue to fund boxing in order to go to world championships in Kazakhstan and, you know, continental? Yeah, it probably won't. So boxing will lose out. And it's probably the same situation in countries around the world. So I think we are going to reach a tipping point at some stage in the next 12, 18 months, but we'll see how it goes. There's no guarantees about what's going to happen.
I mean,
now,
when you bring money into the frame and it's therefore in the gift of judges to make decisions that will give cash to individual boxers and to teams, which was never the case in the past, that brings a whole cloud with it, I think.
Well, AIBA was always a cash-strapped organization, and before London 2012, there was a scandal basically uncovered by journalists in the UK that there was a cash for medals thing going on with Azerbaijan, and that was thwarted before London 2012. Rio 2016 was found to be corrupt, and one of the fights under the microscope was Michael's fight, among others. Olympic boxing has always been prone to corruption, for sure.
Finally, to you both, Michael, first of all, have you ever seen anyone, first of all, more delighted to win the bout, and secondly, more delighted to retire?
Listen, I'm unsure if she will fully retire. I know she says she has, but she has that love and passion for the game, and I hope she does. I hope she goes and enjoys life now and enjoys just being a normal person for a while, but I can't see it lasting too long. But unbelievable. I love seeing her dancing in the ring. I love seeing her singing Grace After in the arena. A beautiful sight to see, and I'm over the moon for her because she's very deserving. She's someone who's put the work in, and she turns up at every single big competition and puts in unbelievable performances. So the fact that everything has kind of fell right for her, the judging fell right for her, the bouts, everything. She had a hard route to the final and she still went and won the gold. So, you know, credit to Kelly, credit to D1, credit to everybody who's back there. So, yeah, well done.
Kevin?
Yeah, I think it's great that Kelly Harrington has almost proved impervious to boxing corruption because she's won her fights so conclusively. I know that's something, you know, all fighters strive to do, take the judge's decision out of it. But Harrington, you know, the distance between her and her opponents has been so vast that she's been able to win her fights quite clearly. Last night was obviously quite a tight affair. It was amazing. You know Kelly Harrington a long time. You know, she wears her heart in her sleeve. And this was a very personal journey for her in the last couple of years. And she suffered a lot of loss outside the ring, a lot of hard times outside the ring in the last couple of years. And to climb that mountain again, you could only be happy for her to do so. Regarding her retirement, it's something she's mooted for a long time. Possibly she'll return to the ring in the national tournaments. But I think her days have gone away to training camps and, you know, tournaments away from her wife, away from her family. They are over. But, you know, she could get the bug again. She won her first Olympic medal in her 30s, her second in her 30s. And, you know, she's clearly, maturity is good for her.
She's certainly coined a phrase. Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. Good night, Irene. She certainly has. Look, thank you both very much for joining me. Michael, thanks a million for coming online. And Kevin Byrne, chief boxing sub-editor at The Sun, host of the Rocky Road Boxing Podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.